All right, so welcome everyone. And I want to first, today is our Zoom circle around healing through anger. That was our choice of inquiry, self-inquiry we were going to do this week. And I just want to thank each of you. Some of you might have joined me right at the beginning, some of you might have just kind of found out about it in the middle, maybe towards the end, maybe you've looked at some of the posts, maybe you haven't. It's all good because it's the power of joining. It's the power of that intention as a group to come together around this area that can really be challenging. It's just one of those emotions that's just not easy. As I said in one of my posts, how do you look at anger without getting burnt? It's like, how do you go to a fire and and really look at it without getting blind, without feeling all that heat and rage and all of that. So yesterday night, I felt like I had written everything I needed to. It was done, and I was like, I don't know if I have anything more to say today. So I was like, okay. And some of who were with me in the Corona circles, I've been really practicing listening to the inner teacher and trusting. And so I don't prepare things like you would, like when I was in my medical school residency doctor days, where you got a whole seminar and you got it outlined and bulleted and bullet points and PowerPoint. I'm really practicing listening in the moment, what is to be shared. And so I was waiting for something to come in, and last night I was looking at some videos from David Hoffmeister, and these ideas were floating in my mind, but nothing really was settling. So I said, okay, it was getting late. I said, all right, I better get to bed and just trust. So of course, in the night I had a dream, and the dream was that two of my clients that I have been coaching for a while, that they have young kids and I've gotten to know the family. First, the boyfriend, he committed suicide. And then the partner, in response to that grief and the agony, committed suicide, and she left, these two kids. And then, as I'm watching this in my mind in the dream, I had given them something about wellness or healing or whatever, and somehow what I had given them, it had created these feelings of like not feeling worthy or not feeling good enough. And so somehow they just kept thinking about that, and that led them to commit suicide, first him and then her. And then in my mind, I'm like, oh my goodness, like, wow, like, what have I done? And, what's going to happen now? And then I'm feeling like, the police is, they're going to come after me. They're going to take away my license. And, my mind was just spinning these stories. And the thing is, it felt so real. It felt so real that when I got up in the morning, I was still like, are they okay? Are they like, they were still like that. Like, are you awake? Are you asleep? In that state. So then, as I settled, into being here, I read something on my Facebook feed, and it was this, I think it's he's the reporter Cuomo. He's not the governor, but I think it's his brother. He's a journalist, and so he was interviewing this man, and this man was a doctor, and the man's daughter, basically she was a doctor in the front lines, ahead of the emergency room at Columbia, at one of the Columbia hospitals, Columbia Presbyterian in New York. And she had been on the front lines and really, really, serving and all of that, and then had contracted COVID and then quarantined and then kind of got better and went back in. But her family was getting concerned about her, so they took her to Virginia so she could be with her sisters and her mother. And this woman last Sunday committed suicide. So it was like bizarre. It was really bizarre. But when those things come through like that, like I really feel like whatever. And I felt prompted to like listen to the interview, and there's like 100 things on Facebook and a million things on LinkedIn and everywhere you go, but you start to trust what draws you. And so I was just listening to her, and it really made me reflect, like, I had this dream, and then this person having this experience. And when we go into these deeper teachings, to be free of anger, to be free of upsetting emotions, has to mean that we receive a retranslation of how we're seeing things. Now, some people will talk about illusions and, you know, you're dreaming, you have waking dreams and you have nighttime dreams, and there's no difference because it's all a reflection of our mind. But we don't want to make those theoretical, like we want to really go into this. And so what I thought is, when I had been writing the anger posts, it was around anger and how to move through this, that sometimes this anger bursts through as this clarity that, like, maybe a woman who's been, or a person, a man, anyone has been in this really, let's say, abusive situation or difficult situation, and they're like, I'm done, you know, or someone has been had working and their heart's knotted, and they're like, you know, this is my last day, I'm not coming back. You know, that anger, you know, catapults them into action and they're done. So we talked about that anger giving clarity. But then that chronic anger that just stays, you know, it's like this residue that's in your system, and it just is clogging up the arteries. It's clogging up. It's just clogging. It's not really serving, you know, it isn't being channeled. And so that anger, that chronic anger. And so I was talking in my post about the anger at others, right? The system failing me, the government failing me, a relationship failing me, whatever situation it is, at family members, partners, then anger directed at ourselves, right? The anger going in. And then if you think about this, physicians, you know, they're at risk, maybe a higher risk for suicide. They do have, you know, like the whole public, mental health concerns. And so we don't know what happened with this person. But, you know, if you think about, like, being in a situation where maybe you're feeling so helpless and powerless, and so that the anger that was outward then goes in and it goes into depression. We talked about that, like, in the post, that what's underneath the anger, you know, like a sadness. And then the sadness gets so extreme that it just seems the only way is to check out, you know, and like suicide is like an extreme, extreme example. But when I was writing my post yesterday, what came to me was all roads ultimately lead to forgiveness. But what I didn't write in my post, and what came also, was all roads of the ego lead to death. So all roads of the ego lead to death, all roads ultimately lead to forgiveness, meaning that when we are in that limited mind, the ego mind, then we make interpretations based on data, based on what we're perceiving. So in my dream, what was being fed to me led me to believe this had happened. And then not only that, I was responsible and I was guilty and that I would be punished. And so there was shame, and there was like this sense of like this, you know, attack, right? A sense of attack turned inward, because I'd seen others that, you know, they had seemingly attacked themselves. So that's what I had, until I was shown that, oh, it's not true, you know. But how do we do that with our experiences, right? How do we have that retranslation? So think about that. You're in this space, and what does anger do? So first of all, let's just think about anger. So anger isn't like, anger is reactive, right? Anger is reactive. You see, and there's a reaction. You see, and there's a reaction. And it happens really, really quickly. It's like boom, 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 boom. And then it continues. And that's in the stress response too. You perceive something, you feel like it's going to threat to me, to other. And so you galvanize. I've got to fight it. I'm going to run. You know, something is going to happen. It's like a fire. So in that space, the thoughts really come really, really, really quickly. And so there is no room. There's no room for a reinterpretation. It's like the horse is out of the stable and is running, and it's done. So if we start to see how quickly, like, anger is a fire, it's a fire burning. And then when it becomes chronic and it's always burning, then the thing that seemed to incite it, well, if the fire started there, quickly it's going to just travel into everywhere, right? It doesn't matter. And that's the thing. Then that quality of anger can start to encompass all of our lives, you know, so many aspects of our lives. And so the Buddha said, when you pick up, when you get angry, when we feel anger, it's like picking up a burning coal and wanting to throw it at someone, but guess who gets burnt first, right? We get burnt first. And the Course says that anger, the Course in Miracles says anger is never justified. Now, it doesn't say anger, don't get angry. And in the, you know, pretty much in the whole series of posts, if you follow it, and that's been our principle when we've come together in the Corona circles, we never suppress emotions. We never judge ourselves like, oh, I'm bad if I feel angry. If we have those judgments, we watch them and we share them and we expose them, because this is never about like, don't do this or do that. This is not like a behavioral modification program. This is not what this is about. However, we are joining in that purpose of healing. Right? We are joining in the purpose of healing. And so what we're being shown is, let's look at anger. Let's look at what it's doing. It's stringing together evidences, lining them up, A cause B cause C cause D cause wherever. And then here's the conclusion. So it's so quick that the conclusion is there. I remember listening to this Pema Chodron, who some of you know. She might have, she's written many, many books. She's a Buddhist nun, Nova Scotia. You know, the one that's coming to my mind, When Things Fall Apart, and many, many beautiful books. And she shared something I read in one of her stories, that she was in a retreat and they were supposed to wash their utensils every day. Everyone washed their utensil and put them away. You know, that was their part of their thing. And she was, everyone had been done and there was like one dish that was still there. And in her mind, she said she knew exactly who that person was. It was the same person who always did it. And she was so convinced it was that person. And she was really going to need to talk to that person. And she could feel like she was getting really irritated because this had been explained. This was a person who knew, you know, should know this. And as she got closer and closer, she realized it was her own dish that she had forgotten. So, you know, it's like how quickly, right? How quickly the premises are made. Then I see something, I make an interpretation. Not only that, I decide what I'm going to do to correct this. So it's like I've done it. And it's like this, like the ego creates, it's like this bulletproof thing. It just makes it so perfect. You know, there's just no room. Like there's no room. But if the premise is wrong, then everything else is going to be wrong, right? If the premise is false, then we cannot judge the conclusion. And then why would we want to act based on a false conclusion? And so that is our only gateway. That is our only gateway out. We have to go right to the source. We have to go to the source. And to go to the source means we have to be willing just a little that perhaps I didn't see it correctly. Perhaps there's another way. And that little willingness is enough. I mean, it is enough. Many of us who have been practicing know just that little willingness to say what? That this anger, it's churning, you know, it's churning and it's burning. And is it leading me to happiness? Like, I've been watching, I've been watching because I watched this movie like three times now. It's a Mary Magdalene movie. And there's a scene where first it's Jesus and then it's Mary Magdalene. And someone comes to them and says, how can I not be angry? Look at the suffering. Look at the injustice. Look at this. You know, they're pointing to things. And both Mary Magdalene and Jesus, you know, in different scenes, they say, and how does that feel in your heart? How does that anger feel that you've been carrying all this time? Does it lessen day by day? How does it feel? So it's a beautiful question. It's not saying you're wrong. It's not saying they're right or they're wrong. It's kind of saying, how do you feel? And I feel like that is our honesty. That's our point. And that's where, as I was writing these posts, it's like, yes, this is what's going on the screen. You're angry at something. How do you feel? You're angry at God. How do you feel? You're angry at yourself. How do you feel? Like, how does that feel? And if your desire, because once we come in, then we're like, okay, All right. This is, how does this feel in your heart that you've been carrying all these years? Does it lessen as the days go by, or is it getting more as the days go by? And that is our point of power, our point of honesty and our point of power, because we, at our heart of hearts, we all want to be happy and peaceful. We all want to heal. We don't want to, you know, like the Course says, your tolerance for suffering may be high, but thankfully it's not without limits. And so maybe with anger, with enough time, whatever, you know, there's a breaking point and we're like, there must be another way. And that's kind of how I had opened the post, that maybe you're ready. Cause I was feeling that, I was noticing, and I've, you know, if you read some of the posts, I've had a long-term relationship with anger. I mean, it's been part of my emotional experience. You know, I can go into that place. And often it'll be in spaces where I feel safe, and it'll be with the ones I love the most, you know, because I feel like I can take out, you know, I don't have to be a coach. I don't have to be a doctor. I can just be me. And yet at the same time, what does it mean to be just me? So as I went through this experience, I began to realize that anger was a mask. Anger was a defense. There was really a deep call for love underneath the anger. And when you think of someone, you know, this doctor committing suicide, I mean, you wonder what was she experiencing? We don't know, right? Maybe we'll never know. But was it that she felt somehow she had not done enough, or she had failed, or the system had failed her, or she, who knows? I mean, seeing so many, just whatever she saw. And so it's a call for love, right? It's really a deep, deep, deep call for love. And what happens is the ego filter does not let us hear that call for love. And if we can't hear it, then we can't share that love, and we can't really receive the love. Because why? Because those false premises, the judgments block. They kind of create this lockdown. Nothing can come in, nothing can come out, that feeling. And that's where this willingness is like this little flame. It's this little, just a little bit of a crack, a little crack to let the light enter, which is what is being asked for. So I want to look at a lesson in the Course in Miracles. It's lesson 121, and I'm not going to read the whole lesson, but it's the idea that forgiveness is the key to happiness. And so let's come back now. Forgiveness is the key to happiness. So first, all roads of the ego lead to death. Now that's something that we might have to experience. Like someone would say, well, suicide, that's extreme. That's an extreme example. But death can be in not living up to our potential. Death can be in not feeling happy. Death can, you know, in just not, and I'm not talking about happy because the world seems to be this way or everything's going my way, but this deeper, the ancient Indian mystics called it the Sat Chit Ananda, the truth, consciousness, awareness, bliss, like the state of contentment, of peace. That is death. Because it's not life. It's not life when we're in judgment and like we're feeling, you know, the Course says you're a hostage. You're it's in a prison of your mind. You're in this prison. And when I was in the dream and I was seeing this, I was in this prison. Like that's all the evidence is. That's all I was seeing, and it wasn't comfortable. So death is like anything that takes us away from a state of peace, a state of inner contentment. So that all roads of the ego lead to death. Meaning when we let the ego mind be our teacher, like that, the Buddhist nun, letting that be our teacher, it leads to irritation. It leads to, you know, conflict and all of that. All roads ultimately lead to forgiveness. So if we can think of the ego is kind of it's the mind that lives in unforgiveness, the unforgiving mind. And that's what the lesson talks about. So I'm just going to read just a little bit from lesson 121. The unforgiving mind is full of fear and offers love no room to be itself, no place where it can spread its wings in peace and soar above the turmoil of the world. and to soar above the turmoil of the world, that can only happen when we do this sort of self-inquiry and are willing to let go and are willing to let like this deeper wisdom retranslate for us, to reinterpret, so that we see it like above the battleground and we see something differently than we had before. And often we can laugh at ourselves like this nun did when she realized, oh my goodness, these are my dishes, you know, these are mine. The unforgiving mind is sad without the hope of respite and release from pain. It suffers and abides in misery, peering about in darkness, seeing not, yet certain of danger lurking there. The unforgiving mind is torn with doubt, confused about itself and all it sees. It's confused, right? It's confused, and that confusion is taken as a reality, and that's interpreted, and on, it's like a domino effect. The unforgiving mind is afraid and angry, weak and blustering, afraid to go ahead, afraid to stay, afraid to waken or go to sleep, afraid of every sound, yet more afraid of stillness. And that unforgiving mind, like it's that catecholamine surge, rush, adrenaline. It's like so fast, fast, fast. It's just, you know, just moving, moving, moving. And it's afraid of the very thing that will heal it. It's like a child having a temper tantrum, right? Even the parents, like it pushes away the parents. The child will push away all of that. So sometimes it's almost like I said, we have to allow that. We just have to allow it. You know, and but knowing that we're allowing it, that eventually there will be an opening to stillness, because that is our desire. That is the direction we want to go to. Terrified of darkness, yet more terrified at the approach of light. So sometimes when someone is angry, sometimes the least helpful thing we can say is you don't be angry. You know, you shouldn't be angry. Like that's the least helpful thing we can say, because they've worked themselves up. We've worked ourselves up. So I don't want to hear don't be angry. So I want to justify my anger like that nun. Like I'm right. And not only that, I know exactly who did it. And not only that, I know exactly how I'm going to address it. So don't tell me, because, you know, we're in that space, right? And it's like this, no. So it's like, can you know when they say like you're trembling with fear, but you tremble with anger, right? There's like a trembling with anger. So there's still like this current, like if I'm not right, then it's like, you know, you've been going 70 miles an hour and suddenly you have to stop. It's disconcerting. You know, where do I go from there? So there's like a fear of even someone, a fear or a pushing away of even someone trying to help you, right? It can be misperceived. Okay. So what can the unforgiving mind perceive but its damnation? What can it behold except the proof that all its sins are real? So when I was in my dream, it was feeling like that I had like sinned. I had done something really, really terribly bad and people had suffered and now I was going to get caught. You know, something really bad was going to happen to me. So it's like, it's just this place where I mean, the word that's coming to me again is like a lockdown feeling, you know, lockdown. And many of us, I was talking to a client yesterday and she was like, yeah, I can't do this anymore. I really, you know, I need to see people. I need to be with people. This is just feeling really, really hard right now. This is just, it's too much. So here's another thing. Like anger is never justified. Doesn't mean you can't get angry. Right? We can make mistakes. The nun made a mistake, right? She saw something that wasn't there. She made an interpretation that wasn't true. She made a mistake. So the unforgiving mind sees no mistakes, but only sins. It looks upon the world with sightless eyes and shrieks as it beholds its own projections rising to attack its miserable parody of life. It wants to live, yet wishes it were dead. It wants forgiveness, yet it sees no hope. It wants escape, yet can conceive of none because it sees the sinful everywhere. And it kind of goes on. But like if the unforgiving mind, so think about that, saying that I'm angry or I'm this or I'm this. And if you even retranslate that and say, oh, this is a mind that's in unforgiveness. You know, even that is like a step towards, oh, there is a possibility. What is needed, the remedy is this forgiveness. That is what's needed. And then this lesson says forgiveness is acquired. So the perspective from the Course in Miracles, a perspective from all the new non-dual teachings of the world, is that you're perfect. You, the truth of you, is whole, innocent, pure, perfect, light, love, never born, never dies, endless. You know, that is the vision. That is the vision. So in that space, forgiveness is not needed. What is there to forgive? But when we're in this space, in this lockdown feeling, this unforgiving mind, then forgiveness is acquired and forgiveness must be learned. And so it's a relief because it's saying that you've taught yourself something and now forgiveness is the medicine you need to undo an error, to undo a mistake. And also when I was reflecting on anger, I was feeling like, yeah, it goes deep into an identity of myself. Because if you think about anger, especially if it's anger directed outward or anger at God, let's say, it's the sense of me as this person who suffered, that I was, you know, really, really hurt. And again, this is not to deny any of our feelings, but it's the interpretation that we're wanting to heal so we can move through these feelings. There's like a clinging to holding an understanding, a self-concept of myself versus the capital S self that is the truth of me. And so which do I want? That's how deep it goes, because underneath the anger are beliefs in sacrifice, beliefs in martyrdom, beliefs in persecution. And some of us who are, you know, you were with me in the final of the Corona circles, we did the whole thing about the crucifixion and the whole idea that that was an extreme teaching example to show us that the belief in being unfairly treated, right, that can be underneath anger. So it's like a whole set of beliefs that build a self-concept that then shoots out as anger, all sets of beliefs. And little by little, and it takes a lot of willingness and patience and easily, we forgive this. We forgive these ideas of ourselves. So forgiveness, many people say, is all self-forgiveness. It's that's, and I, in the last post, I talked about the Ho'oponopono prayer used by Dr. Len when he was in this mental hospital and seeing all of these patients with all different degrees of mental illness and using this ancient Hawaiian practice of reconciliation to say, if someone seems to be suffering, then this is suffering of the whole. If there is a problem, it reflects a problem of the whole community. And so we are all in this together and we are all here. And he didn't see these patients, but he continued this practice of forgiveness in his mind again and again, washing again. So it requires practice. So yeah. Yeah, that's what's feeling to be shared today. And I feel like now would be a good time for us to go into some stillness and into a meditation. And so I'd like to guide us into that experience, and then we will open it up and have a conversation. All right. So just let yourself be comfortable. Do whatever you need. You know, if you need to adjust your posture or stretch or whatever feels that you need to do. Just if you feel comfortable, you can close your eyes. If you want to keep them open, whatever feels good to you. And gratitude to each one of you for being here today. Blessed are the peacemakers, and we are all peacemakers because at our core, we have this desire to heal through anger into peace. gratitude to our willingness to gather today to this joining. Gratitude to the gifts we have received and are about to receive in this joining. Letting ourselves slowly sink into this moment. Trusting whatever is needed for our healing is to be received. We are never denied our healing. In fact, the beloved desires for us to experience this healing in every moment. It is our birthright. Letting yourself breathe and be easy. No efforting, nowhere to go, nothing to do. Nothing to fix or make happen. Letting this moment hold you. In this moment are all the miracles of healing within the mind that we need. Letting yourself breathe. In the way that feels comfortable to you. The beloved wants us to know how loved we are, how adored, how cherished. With every aspect of our being, with all of us, nothing has to be excluded or hidden. Nothing to be ashamed of. The beloved offers us the soundless music. Gentle symphony within our hearts, just to welcome us to this place of healing. If there is one that you feel you are holding or have held in a space of unforgiveness, let that situation, person, event come to mind. Knowing that this whole experience is being held in the arms of the beloved. You are not alone. And with the beloved holding your hand, perhaps sitting down with you, let yourself ask for whatever it is you need to ask for. Maybe you ask, how can I see this differently? I am willing. And you listen. Maybe you receive a feeling an image, a voice, a sensation. Trust whatever seems to come. And trust the silence as well. Your willingness is all that is needed for the healing. You can't do it wrong. You can't get it wrong. Perhaps you ask, is there any light here? Something that seems very dark. Once again, ask the beloved to help you. You need not do this alone. We cannot do this alone. So ask for all the help you need. Can there be light? I am willing. I am willing to see this differently. I am willing to lay down this burden that's been heavy on my heart. I want to put this down so I can really, really breathe. I want to release this so I can truly rest and sleep at night. I don't want to live in this prison of my mind full of worry and fear. There has to be another way. Once again, ask the beloved, I am willing to see another way. Please help me. Lay out all of your hurts, your grievances, your anger, pain. Lay it all out. Do not hide anything. There is no judgment here, only acceptance and gratitude for your willingness to show up. So give it all. And ask for help at each step. Your willingness is the key to unlock this kingdom of God that is within you. For it is not outside, it is within. Within our hearts, within our minds. A kingdom of love, of comfort, of peace, of rest, tranquility and calm, knowing we are always taken care of, always protected. Let yourself rest here. Breathing in this love and comfort, soaking it in through every pore of your being. Nothing is asked of you here. There are no demands. Nothing for you to prove, nothing for you to defend. All the wild imagining and nightmares have passed. And gentle dreams of peace and light and love have come. There are echoes of children playing in the distance. The sound of a river babbling along nearby. You can hear the water and the stream flowing. The birds are singing. The nightmare has passed. With our willingness and the power of our joining in the strong arms of the beloved, we are awakening to this happy dream together. It may seem to come in bits and pieces. We may have to rub our eyes, because we're not sure at times. But we can stop and pause and ask for help again, as many times as we need throughout the day. We join in this mighty, beautiful purpose of forgiveness together, one mind, one heart. Holding each other's hands, supporting each other along the way. Knowing we are never alone. We breathe with the beloved. We exist in the beloved. We move with the beloved. And that is enough. Let yourself be here. Rest here. Rejoice here. In delight in the company of the beloved and all of our mighty companions joined in hand. Namaste. Thank you, everyone. Thank you. It's amazing to me how, no matter how many times we do this, there's always this treasure that just seems to go deeper and deeper and deeper. And there's always more and more to receive and to wash through, wash over. It's truly an ocean, you know, an endless ocean. So it's always, it's just amazing to me. So whoever, if you feel called to share or express from any of the posts or from just the gathering today, you know, let's open it up so we can talk together about this. So you can raise your hand. I can just unmute you, or I think you can unmute yourself. So whoever, or you can just raise your hand and I can unmute you if you'd like to share. And again, not putting anyone on the spot, you know, sometimes we just want to take in, but if some of the new participants who haven't shared before, if they'd like to speak, we'd love to hear from you as well. Ah, nice. Okay. Alexandra, yes.
That was just a really beautiful meditation. And I was really moved by what you said about death can be like not living up to our potential, or not allowing that state of contentment or whatever to be there. And I feel that a lot of times, like when I wake up in the morning, I just like, oh, what is this day supposed to be about? You know, there's this heaviness, and I want to somehow be able to ask for guidance more, you know, connect with that beloved to get guidance about that and to get help with that, because I feel like I need help with that. So, yeah, that was very powerful. Thank you. If there's any, you know, anything to share about that, I'd be happy to hear.
Yeah, thanks so much, Alexandra, first of all, for sharing and expressing. So it's always, you know, it's such a, when we open our hearts and express, it's beautiful. It really is beautiful, because it's for everyone. And also, I know Alexandra does these beautiful paintings that I've seen so many on your Facebook page, and some that you've shared with me. And they're quite stunning. Maybe I'm going to try to put some in the post, because they're really otherworldly. They're not of this world. That's how I feel when I look at them. So sometimes we have a beautiful channel where maybe we're already connecting, you know, and I don't know what that experience for you is. I'm just expressing what I'm feeling when I receive those paintings. And so I always feel that there is a channel that sometimes we don't even realize it. And it's a matter of bringing that channel to bear into this other, right? And so it's really like what the course is, the transfer of training. You're already doing it, but you just want to bring this into this. And your desire and your willingness and your, like I could feel the poignancy, the desire for it, and the feeling, oh, it's not there. It's just so beautiful, because that's just opened up something. You know, it's just opened up that door. So I'll be really eager to see what comes. Yeah. And I don't mean just in painting, but just the life that you're painting, you know, just in the general. Yeah. So thank you. Okay. So just another invitation to anyone who maybe in the other circles wasn't able to talk, would like to share, just an opening. Not that others can't, but just putting that out there. Mary Straub, yeah.
I certainly wanted to give everybody an opportunity before I speak, but wow, this has been such an experience for me. This whole lockdown and going through all these emotions of that have come up, and all in all, it's been amazing. It's just been beautiful because it's been an unwinding experience for me. It's been releasing. And so I hear you are doing this this teaching on this joining on anger, and oh, it's been so beautiful. And when you mentioned the crucifixion concept, the belief is the belief in being unfairly treated, and I realized that that there's been a lot that's come up around the idea of conspiracy theories. It's like everybody's got their own conspiracy theory. And I thought that is really kind of a form of crucifixion. It's like a belief that someone is doing this to us. And my conspiracy theory is better than your conspiracy theory. And so it's been so interesting to watch my response to some of that. And what's happening now is, as I've released so much of my judgment and anger, I realize that it's always my dish that's dirty. It's always my dish. There's nobody else's dish that's dirty. Jeff Wilbur on our movie this last weekend said the most beautiful thing. He said he had posted a conspiracy theory online, and he said he didn't get one response. And he said he was really angry. He said he was really feeling this anger and justified. And here he is, you know, this course teacher. And I think some of you might have seen that. I don't know. I think there were, you know, others of us on there. But anyway, he said that he went for counseling about it with
Mary. Mary, I'm sorry. Can you turn up? Are others having trouble hearing Mary? Is there? Yeah. Could you turn up your?
Can you hear me?
Just if you can turn up your volume.
Is it better? No.
I can hear her, but how about others? No?
Okay, well, I'm going to turn this off.
Let me try it without the headphones.
Much better. Much better. Yeah.
Really? Okay. So did you hear anything?
I think we got up to the conspiracy theories, right? I think some of us have heard up.
Okay, Jeff said that he posted, he said he didn't get one response. He said that was spirit was showing him that this was just a conspiracy theory, he felt like it was so true. And he said that he went to Suzanne for counseling, and she said the most beautiful thing that I love. She said anything that is not from God is a conspiracy theory. And I just resonated with that so strongly, because I can look at anything that's not from God is my dirty dish, because it's coming from the ego. It's not coming from love. It's not coming from that inner knowing that all is always well. So it's what I'm getting, what's this opportunity to release my anger and resistance. And I realize I'm thinking of lesson 5, that's where it says in the workbook, I'm never upset for the reason that I think. And it doesn't say I'm sometimes, or I'm all the time, or I'm, you know, it's like I am never upset for the reason I think. And I really am getting it that it's because the I that's thinking is the ego. The I that thinks it's upset is the ego, because spirit is, you know, when I'm in my right mind, I'm not going to be upset. I'm just not going to be upset. So it's beautiful to look at, if I'm feeling angry, it's just that I'm in my wrong mind, and not judge it as being something's wrong with me. It's just another conspiracy theory. And it's laughable when I get on the other side of it. Now I can look at my family on Facebook. It's really interesting because I'm not doing anything on Facebook other than checking every once in a while when spirit guides me. And my family is going through, they're posting one post, one video, and then another will respond with, that has been debunked. And then another one will respond with, but that has been a lie, and that is fake news. And then it came up and said, one of them goes, now you're sounding like a Democrat. And it really became comical. And I just had this, instead of being angry about all these beliefs and where is my belief, I got to laugh. I got to just laugh and love them. It's like they're just coming from fear and a call. It was a huge call for love but they all needed to convince the other that they had the right conspiracy theory. But I could see that this was me. I would have been the one on there saying, no, you need to hear it from my spiritual perspective, because I have the right understanding now. So even if it's a spiritual perspective, it's still a conspiracy theory if it's coming from needing to be right, for me needing to be right, or if it's coming from my anger. So it was really a gift for me to look at, it's not about what's the belief or what is showing up out there. It's about what am I feeling, like Jesus and Mary Magdalene in that movie. It was like, how does that feel to feel that and to be angry with my sister-in-law or my brother-in-law who are so, you know, so adamant that this is the way it is, and the blaming that's going back and forth. But it really was just a beautiful dance of anger and a dance of fear that I got to watch and love through. And then I knew that I'm healing because I don't have to judge them with their dirty dish anymore. It's my dirty dish. So yeah, I put all that together. It's just, I have chills because it's like spirit is saying, whew, you're getting this, Mary. I really feel like I'm getting to the love now. And when I'm hearing, this belief, this thing that's been coming up for a lot of people. I heard yesterday on the Teachers of God Foundation had a beautiful joining. Oh my gosh, it was amazing. Where Kelly Russell said, I'm hearing from everybody, I'm over this. And by the end of it, it was, I got that what I'm over is I'm over the conspiracy. I'm over. Anything but joy and love. I'm done with it. It's like, this is a beautiful experience. It's all in the way I'm looking at it. It was so powerful because everybody on there was posting the good that was coming to them from this experience. Nobody was blaming or angry. Everybody, it was, and there was one after the other. It was so, so uplifting. I just left that joining with this feeling of my heart is they're expressing what I'm feeling. I'm loving this. It's like I'm getting to meet with all you beautiful people. I'm getting to hear more teachers. I'm getting the course on a deeper level. I'm getting to love more. I'm getting to release old angers and judgments that I thought the ego thinks it's done, but it's still coming up. I'm getting to have experiences with dreams. I'm getting to let my body go more. Something is shifting that's very beautiful and very powerful. And so yeah, it's like this is Healing Through Anger is the name of this, and I'm getting that I'm healing through all of it. Anger, you know, anger is a part of it. I'm healing through the love and through the through mighty companions that are coming up, and for through forgiveness and through releasing judgment and releasing anger, but also allowing the anger to burn first, and the only dousing of the anger is the love. It's only in the right mind when the anger is gonna it's just showing me where I still am calling. I'm still judging, and still needing to. But that's always my ego conspiracy theory. It's always my dirty dish. So it's always my crucifixion that somebody is being unfairly treated. And releasing that just is so beautiful. It just feels so powerful to be able to release that belief that no one is being unfairly treated. But they have. If I'm upset, I want to honor that upset, because it's telling me something that's still burning in there and that still needs to be allowed, and love my way through that. So yeah, I just had to share that. So thank you. I love you all.
Thank you. Hi. Oh, I think the internet, yeah, sometimes the internet was a little. Okay, thank you so much, Mary. Yeah, you touched upon a lot there. There was a lot there. So thank you. Thank you for that. You kind of carried us through all the journey, you know, all the different aspects that anger can show up. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Graham. Yep. Oh, there you go. Yes.
Hi, everyone. Yeah. I find it difficult to talk about anger, really. I think I suffer. It comes out with me most. I mean, I do have obvious anger, obviously, you know, from time to time. It comes out. I have conspiracy theories as well. It's usually about politics, actually. I tend to suffer from anxiety. So I would get, I mean, in the situation, I mean, I've always suffered from health anxiety. Most of my family do. My grandmother lived to be 103, and she was still suffering from my health anxiety at that great age. But I suffer from health anxiety, so it's not a good situation to be in with COVID. And I also suffer from health anxiety by proxy. So I worry also about family. First of all, it was my granddaughter, then it was my son and his my daughter-in-law, then my daughter. But it's not all the time by any means. And what I wanted to say is that this period of time has been, in one day, it's been quite a roller coaster. I start the day by going for a long walk in the morning, usually around about between 6, I leave at 6 o'clock in the morning, and we've had very good weather here, and there's some parkland where I am. There's an arboretum, it's called Blaze Estate, and I walk on that. I made friends there. We all stand at very safe distances from each other, almost like it's kind of be like it's really funny, you know. And they've all got dogs. Where I live, we're not allowed dogs, but and it's been that's been a very very positive thing. And I go to a number of different types of groups, and you know that's been very exciting. I'm a musician, so I've been working on my music. I also write, and I've been doing that. And I find that in one day I can go up and down, you know, with it all. And I have been, I mean, I may well have had a mild dose of COVID. It's really difficult to tell because I didn't get a cough. I don't want to go into that too much. I don't want to make it a health thing. But I felt there were times when I was absolutely convinced I was coming down with COVID, and then quite suddenly I feel perfectly all right, and I'm relaxed and calm. I do Reiki, I'm a Reiki master. I've got a very good relationship with my son because he's not a course student, but he really he shares with me a deep interest in non-dual spirituality, and also science, which can be applied to that. And we phone each other up every day, and we share videos of different people, and we have long talks. So he's so there's been a lot of really, really sort of, really a lot of really positive things. But it's dealing with, I find that I have a tendency to not ask for guidance when I'm feeling bad. I'm putting this very in a very obvious way. There's a tendency to, when I'm feeling well and I'm feeling kind of relaxed and happy, then I'll ask for guidance. And yet sometimes when I really most need the guidance, I don't ask for it. It's almost as if I want to hold on to that guidance. And just a final thing, I really love the Mary Magdalene movie as well. I've got the video just up there. And it was really wonderful. It's a great innovation. But I've been angry about that, you know, the way that was suppressed over, you know, the Mary Magdalene and various aspects of Christianity was suppressed since Constantine and all of that. So a little bit garbled, but I just wanted to say something, really. And so I've said something, so that's it. Thank you.
That was so beautiful. Everything you shared, you gave us a window into where you are in your life and your day, and it's beautiful. All of it was so beautiful. And I loved what you said about how when we need it the most, we sometimes, don't ask. And then again, you even went deeper because it sort of exposes, like this desire sometimes we have, which is, you know, we're in, like, the mind is sick, right? So it's an unhealthy mind, but like it's like that dream. It's like this thing where this person is on this, island, and he's like, okay, I'm going to wait till God rescues me. And then, a helicopter comes and a boat comes and all these things come. And he keeps saying, well, you didn't come. He was like, but I sent you all these things. So it's almost like we have this place in ourselves where we're afraid of our power to shift out of something. We're almost like, we have the two desires, like a desire for the peace and the desire for the opposite of peace, like it's right there. And it's just expressing that shows that it can be hidden. But then when we express it, we expose it. And each time we do that, I feel like we together join in affirming that power of choice. So thank you for your beautiful expression. I really loved it. Thank you. I really enjoyed it. Thank you. Yeah, Val, yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Oh, let me, there you go. Okay.
Yeah. I just wanted to continue with Graham's thing of the resistance to let go. And in fact, the thing I brought in your beautiful meditation was a feeling of not being able to speak in a new group like this. And, and that's a very old family pattern that I'm breaking through. And so I was feeling that same space of watching myself hang on to it and then feeling that dance between hanging on and letting myself be free. And so I suppose I'm needing to talk because to it helps me to demystify this, because I know both are true. I know that I can sit in that pattern of tightness. And I know that if I'm honest, and I feel that there is that equality with everybody experiencing these things in very different ways, and having really amazing breakthroughs like Mary has, and we get very excited with that, is so lovely. It starts to relax me, you know. And I loved your I can't remember the name, but that blanket, the jewel.
Net. Yeah, in the net. Yeah.
I just loved it, because I'm sitting here now and I'm thinking, yeah, I'm just a little bit, you know, in shadow of being who I am, you know, and the power that I have. But I'm also know that there is light, you know, in this time of this waking up evolution in all of us, really, that there are some that hold the light at different times, and then other people are able to be in shadow and get that reflection. So I've got this sort of feeling of I'm a little damp down there, but I'm also allowing, full little resistance to it, allowing myself to be like that. But I've also got that willingness to open. And in the meditation, I was opening, and even speaking, I can feel a little warmth, you know, coming in. So yeah, I've just wanted to be in the present with this honesty, because this is the key. And what really attracted me to this group is that allowing to be honest and waiting in that honesty and having that bit of willingness to, yeah, I really want to be free. Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Beautiful. Yeah, it's just like when I had that thought about Indra's net, and something else had been an upset, and then you get Indra's net and you're like, what does that have to do with this? Like, I don't get this. And that's that beauty of like that pause, because then like I say, like these God thoughts come in, you know, something else comes in. And then as I read about it, I'm like, oh my goodness. I believe that honesty of being with what is, whatever it is, but then being with what is with the beloved, that just changes the whole thing. So being with what is, and then being with the beloved. And in the Mary Magdalene movie, there are a couple of scenes where she says she's ministering to like a woman who's going through labor, and then she's kind of ministering to someone who's at their end of their life. And it's so beautiful, because she says, look at me. And she says, look at me and be here now. Look at me and be here now. So I feel like it's like the beloved is saying, you know, look at me, because I am here with you now. So we've heard, you know, be in the present moment, right? We all know that, be in the present moment. But this was so powerful. It's like, be here now, look at me, because I am with you. And I'm like, oh, wow, okay. Then, yeah, where else would I want to be? You know, like, of course, I want to be here. So it's beautiful, because I honor you being with this, you know, a little bit of this and a little bit of that, but it's all of it. It's okay. Because that is where it moves, versus, no, I'm not that. I want to be this. And then you're kind of like right in no man's land, because you're pushing against and moving, but you're not here. So it's beautiful. Like that was like the Indra's net. Like I think I wrote somewhere, and a net of love large enough to hold everything. It's so big that it can just contain everything. And I remember reading that somewhere, and then the Indra's net kind of came in. So that being space, that it's large enough, broad enough, deep enough, wide enough. So that's authentic. And you just really did a beautiful demonstration of it. So thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I was thinking Joe. Yeah, I was thinking Joe's going to go on now. Yeah.
Hi, Seema.
Hi. Yeah.
First of all, I just would like to really thank you. You seem to have a gift of divine timing, because your book was perfectly timed for my journey, and then followed by the 21-day coronavirus group was perfect, which I gained a lot of insight for myself from. And then last week, I was experiencing a lot of deep peace, and then I was shocked by this anger that erupted within me. And I was really surprised by that, because I always kind of picture myself as a person of that is peaceful and quiet. So it's really surprised me that there was all this anger boiling up. And as I was kind of like in the middle of it, I could see myself. It wasn't necessarily the incident that triggered it, but it was, I could see that it was went a lot deeper, like for decades. And I think it was anger that I had probably repressed because of my self-impression of myself that, you know, I'm peaceful. So that trying to be peaceful and being angry kind of like they're opposites, you know. So in order for me to maintain my peacefulness, I had to stuff and bury down the anger. And so it all kind of, I just came to the surface last week. And it was so intense that I got to that point where I was thinking to myself, man, I don't want this anymore, you know. How am I going to deal with this? How am I going to, resolve this anger? And then the next email I read was from you about the thing about anger and how you want to help people recognize it and how to heal it. So I immediately signed up. So that's what I mean. It's another example of your divine timing. So I'm so thankful for you for that. And I really enjoyed that that post you made about Indra's net. Because several years ago, I had an experience that kind of reminded me of what you were sharing with that, mm-hmm. that of light that you had. And I have a website that I recorded a lot of my spiritual experiences on. And one of them is called Gratitude. And if you have a couple of minutes, I'd like to read that to you, because it kind of is parallel to what the Indra's net is. And so this is from the website. I'm just going to read it to you. It probably takes a few minutes. But I was sitting on a bench of a picnic table in my backyard one warm October afternoon. I began thinking of all the beautiful people in my life, present company included. When I felt a great sense of gratitude. As I was thinking of how we had touched each other's lives, I heard the words, "You are the fabric of life." I asked Spirit, "What does that mean?" I was shown a beautiful fabric. It reminded me of the material that a bridal gown is made from. It had beautiful beads equally spaced. Each bead was as beautiful as the next. The beads were all the same size and brilliance. The beads had a pearl-like color to them. This fabric with the beads went on as far as I could see in all directions. There were no rips, seams, or end to this fabric. I took a closer look. I discovered that these beads were not beads at all, but lights. These lights were shaped like the light from a candle, except the top of the light was more rounded than pointed. I understood that each light was the light of each of my friends. I understood that a group of lights that surrounded my light is my close spirit family. I asked Spirit, why was it that I could see the lights in my friends, but I couldn't see it any other time? Spirit told me the light is always there, but it is covered with dust particles. Each particle represents a belief or judgment that there is something other than what God created. As these beliefs are forgiven, the dust particles fall away, allowing the light to show a little brighter. I also understood that these light families have had many lifetimes together. Each lifetime, the roles may change. I learned that this fabric can be folded in any fashion so as to be in close contact with other lights, no matter the location in the fabric. The folds can last an instant or a lifetime. That helped me to understand how people seem to come together and come in and out of our lives. I began to look at the fabric. Each thread had a slight wave. The waves were very gentle. Scroll down here. The waves were very gentle and connected each light to every other light. Each thread seemed to have a slight golden glow to it. I realized that the threads that connected all of us is love. I remember looking to see which one of these lights was me. I searched the entire fabric, but could not find the one that was me. When the vision was over, I found myself standing in the middle of the yard about 30 feet from where I was when the vision was started. I don't remember how I got there. I must have walked to that place as I was trying to take a closer look. So, this vision happened about 3 years ago, and I'm finally writing it down. After writing it, I began to read it. When I was done, I heard the words again. You are the fabric of life. It seemed that Spirit gave me a way of understanding then what I was able to understand then. Now, when I heard the words, I understand that I am the fabric of life. You are the fabric of life. We are the fabric of life, the one fabric, the Christ. We are not one little light on the fabric. We are all the lights on the entire fabric. Gratitude to God becomes the way in which he is remembered. For love cannot be far behind a grateful heart and a thankful mind. God enters easily, for these are the true conditions for your homecoming. And that last sentence is a quote from the Course. So I just wanted to share that with you because it was like we seem to be on these parallel spiritual developments where when you share something, I can identify with it. And it's kind of like it's important to my path as we join together and review these things. So thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And thanks for the sharing that, which you had sent to me, and I'm glad. Yeah, I'm glad that you're able to. And I'm going to try to put a link for it so others can go back and read it, because it is beautiful, because it's really like Indra's net. And I love those collaborations, like when, you know, we get things coming from two places. And the other thing is, Mary Straub was saying, thank you. It's also like, listening within, and then trusting that that's healing for the whole. So thank you for that as well. Like the deeper listening versus like, you know, you're kind of outside trying to do something. But you're, you know, for me, the practice of like going deeper and listening. So I'm so happy that, I saw yours came in right away, you know, that you wanted to join. And I love that. It was like, yes, we're together. We're going to do this together. And that makes such a difference because, there is such power, as we know, there is such power in joining. So definitely, thank you. I just wanted to reach out to LJ because I'm not sure if she...
And then grab your... Oh. Call your dad. Give me the phone.
Oh, yeah, this is... Hi, LJ?
Oh, sorry, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I just wanted to reach out to you because I know you're on the phone. Did you want to share or are you good?
Yeah, I'm good, but the one thing I do want to share, not my response to the meditation that was wonderful. You're really the best at it. And we thank you so much. But I was definitely like a Joe at the Yaha moment meant to be here because I wanted to inquire about the physician in New York City that you spoke about. That was on my mind and it came up first. And so thank you for utilizing that as an example in our class today. That really hit home.
Okay, sure, yeah. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Yeah, you never know. See, you just never know how things connect. Yeah, and they do. Yeah, we still, oh, actually. Okay. Thank you, Don. Thank you. Yeah, so we're at time. If someone feels a prompt that they'd want to share, otherwise we can just, anyone else that has something really, really that they feel like they'd like to express or... Okay, all right, well, I'm just going to unmute everyone so we can, hold on. Yeah, so we can just kind of wish each other well. Yeah. So, yep. Thanks again for a beautiful gathering.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, we'll continue.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Much love. Much love. Thank you for everyone.
Great to see everybody again.
Namaste.
Namaste. Namaste.
And I'll go now.
Bye. Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye, Don. Thank you. Thanks for joining. Thank you.
Thank you.